Colorado today who have implemented one of these to look and say, okay, what are we missing? So we know we will be doing primary care. It will not be any chronic conditions. Those will be referred out. And behavioral health, there will be a substance abuse clinical case manager on the bus. They will be screening individuals and getting them into services and or has the capability of doing a group on the bus. So we've already hired the nurse practitioner. And we can hire up to two, but right now we have one. We have a medical assistant, and I'm looking for an LCSW or LPC down in that area. That so if any of you know anyone down in that area that would like to participate with us in this project, we're looking for those applicants. So we're excited about it. We're hoping it'll be here by the 1st of November. But right now we're contingent upon when that bus drives into town. I do know there will be a big kickoff involving the governor and the commissioner and them when this bus gets here. So we're excited. And what I would like to know is, as Kimberly was talking, I was making me a couple of notes over here. Are there coalitions, Kimberly, in those five counties? And you don't have to tell me now, but if you could send me an email or something and tell me, I'm looking for those coalitions. And we're going to be reaching out to the local health councils, the rural health clinics, law enforcement, and the judicial, DCS, DHS, and the Department of Health. And so if you can think of anyone else that we need to be reaching out to. We have the area to park the bus in. That's already been secured in all five of those counties. So one day it'll be in Lewis County. The next day it'll be in Perry, Wayne, Lawrence, and Marshall. So they'll know that it's in each county on that day every week. We will not be doing MAT services in the bus. There will not be narcotics on the bus. And we'll have a relationship with the pharmacy where we will e-script any scripts in too. So it's exciting. Do we know what we're doing yet? Nah. But we'll figure it out. I will say this, since Cooper is on the line, I had a long conversation yesterday with Tamara and Kim Averett, and I immediately got an email back. I'd sent pictures to them that I just showed you guys, and I got a email back from Kim almost immediately. She says, "What timing?" She says, "We just got notice of this from TennCare." So, it's pretty exciting. We're looking forward to it.
That's very exciting, Debbie. Hey, I think Jen said so in the chat. Lawrence County has a great coalition. Alicia Harris is your connection over there. And she put her number in the chat box. But if you can send me a flyer, I would love to distribute that in our community too. That's really great.
I will. I'll send it to you, and then you can get it to who the coalition members are, and it'll have my contact information.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Any other? So let me just go this before we go to the state. Any other projects that anybody's working on that's new and brings value to our community in Region 5? All right. Kirby, how about an update from the state?
All right. Let me pull this up. All right, just a few updates I have since we last met in August. The first one, year two, I know this was on the last update. I'm sorry, it's almost done. Year two, FY 2021 of the three-year plan is in progress. It's actually in its final review stages. Regional councils will have an opportunity to review once that's complete. So within the next, hopefully within the next 2 weeks, I would like to see it go out to you all. And as you may remember, the three-year plan, FY 2021, will be looking at the 2020 needs assessments that were submitted. So throughout the document, I have marked needs that are programs and actions that were taken from the 2020 needs assessment. The FY 2021 mental health block grant application was submitted to SAMHSA on August 13th. The FY 2021 mental health block grant report is in progress. I believe a draft of the report was shared early this week via email from Avis with regional council leadership in order to review. The department and its community mental health provider partners are excited to expand the state's behavioral health safety net to uninsured children. The program offers an array of essential mental health services for uninsured Tennessee children ages 3 to 17. Services are available for family incomes at or below 138% federal poverty level. Governor Bill Lee and the Tennessee General Assembly appropriated $7.6 million in new state funding in the current fiscal year to create the Children's Behavioral Safety Net. Services available through the Children's Behavioral Safety Net include assessment and evaluation, individual group and family therapy, case management, transportation, family support services, medication management, and pharmacy assistance and coordination. A total of 14 community mental health centers with 136 locations statewide are participating in the program. I've included a link in here that you can click on. It's on the department website, but I also have the direct link in this update that I'll send to you, Sherry, to put in your minutes, that if you click on it, it tells you where the nearest location is in your area. The department is also expanding its school-based behavioral health liaison program to all 95 counties in the state. Governor Bill Lee budgeted and the Tennessee General Assembly appropriated an increase of $3 million for the current fiscal year to expand the program. School-based behavioral health liaisons provide face-to-face consultation with classroom teachers who enhance learning environments for children who have or are at risk for serious emotional disturbance, behavioral problems, or substance use disorders. Liaisons also provide training and education for classroom teachers and serve as a link between schools and families. Liaisons currently serve elementary, middle, and high schools in 36 counties. In FY20, liaisons served about 7,500 children and youth and 2,500 teachers. They also held more than 11,000 individual counseling sessions and 7,300 individual consultations. The Tennessee Recovery Navigators are celebrating two successful years of connecting people who come into the emergency rooms with treatment for substance use disorders. Navigators are individuals with lived experience of addiction and at least 2 years in recovery who are able to use their history to relate to the patients they meet. Since the program started in June 2018, the Tennessee Recovery Navigators have interfaced with 3,776 people in emergency rooms. In FY20, 77% of the patients who met with a navigator were placed into treatment. Navigators are employed by 8 community agencies spread across the state. In 2 years, the reach of the program has grown to 38 hospitals in 21 Tennessee counties. When it began, the program focused on emergency room patients who survived an opioid overdose. As it grew, the program's scope expanded to include people presenting in active withdrawal or with a primary substance use disorder. A new report was recently published by the department, and it can be found on the state website at www.tn.gov/recoverynavigators. The report includes information about the Tennessee Recovery Program, its successes and data, and also includes testimonials. These last two updates, I believe, were sent via email, but I'm just going to go through them again. The first one, on October 1st, 2020, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, through the Health Resources and Services Administration, announced $20 billion in new funding for providers on the front lines of the coronavirus pandemic. Under this Phase 3 general distribution allocation, providers that have already received provider relief fund payments will be invited to apply for additional funding that considers financial losses and changes in operating expenses caused by the coronavirus. Additionally, previously ineligible providers, such as those who began practicing in 2020, will also be invited to apply. There's more. The deadline for the application is Friday, November 6, 2020, and I have the direct link on where to click on to apply for this additional funding because it's really long. I couldn't read it off to you, but it can be found on the HHS website, which is www.hhs.gov/coronavirus. And I've included this in my update, so you can just directly click on the link. And the last update I have, the department has secured an additional $7.2 million in federal grant funding to respond to mental health and addiction concerns caused by COVID-19 and recent natural disasters. Excuse me. SAMHSA has awarded the department an additional $3.5 million to continue to address mental health concerns caused by COVID-19. This funding supplements a previous grant of almost $1 million. Crisis counseling services through this program are available in all 95 Tennessee counties. SAMHSA has also awarded the department $3.7 million to respond to the mental health effects of flooding in 2019. In February and March 2019, 59 Tennessee counties sustained significant damage from severe weather, and FEMA responded with a disaster declaration. Funding under this grant will support mental health crisis services, behavioral health safety net services, and substance abuse treatment and recovery services. And I have a link on here that if you click on it, shows all the counties covered by the 2019 disaster declaration. These latest grant announcements come on top of a $2 million grant from SAMHSA to respond to the behavioral health impacts of COVID-19 and a $500,000 grant from FEMA to respond to the impacts of the tornadoes in March. And that's what I have.
Any questions or comments for Kirby?
Kirby, where did you say we can get an overview of that or a rundown of those funding dollars?
For more, so I will send that entire update. It's also on the department. Sorry, it's on the department update as well, or department update. I can't even speak today. It's on the department website, but I also have this entire update that I just read. I send directly to Sherry that can include the minutes, but I can also send you the link to the website as well in your email.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That was Kimberly, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Kurt, I've noticed that Zach's not on. Anything from the legislative piece?
Hey, Debbie, this is Kurt Hipple with the department. Update on the legislative session for 2021. We have the legislative committee for the statewide council has made their deliberations and commissioners communicated back to them her thoughts on the legislative proposals that were presented. The department will have a legislative proposal that was generated mostly from the interactions we had with the auditors, which is always, it's always great to have someone come in and kind of draw your attention to some performance areas. So I think we'll have, if approved by the governor, a legislative proposal that addresses some of those things. And we'll share that with y'all as soon as
we're able. All right, Kurt, it is never good to have auditors come in. I don't know where you learned that.
Well, If you have to have auditors, which state departments do, any organization that's formed by the
legislature, all of us are fully aware of the auditors, but they're not fun.
Oh, no, no one said they were fun, but the perspective, I'm down to look on the bright side, Debbie.
Okay.
That they can be helpful in highlighting areas that you need to focus on. So I think that's how commissioner approaches it. I know that's how previous commissioners have approached it. And you're right, it's not a fun process. Avis and Kirby and Amy can testify to the hours and hours of work that they did with that. And I know each regional council, I'll thank you again for the time and attention you put into answering auditor questions. But I understand. But we're choosing to view it as something that is helpful for the department and for the people we serve. But that's my update.
Okay.
I don't have anything else other than that.
You know, one of the things is I was sitting here and I was going through and I was listening to Kirby. And she was talking about the navigators. Not that it really affects Region 5, but I will tell you that Buffalo Valley's navigator program has now been expanded to 4 more hospitals. Well, it does. One county would hit, and that's Rutherford. Stonecrest, we're fixing to enter into agreements with Stonecrest, Southern Hills, Summit, and Hendersonville. So I was on a call this week with HCA, and so we're working through that process. But that also triggered another program as it relates to the use of certified peer recovery specialists. So I will put out that I'm also looking for a CPRS person down in the Lawrence, even Murray, maybe Lawrence, Murray, Lewis, somewhere down in that area. I have a new project also that involves the Tennessee Department of Corrections, and it is putting a CPRS working with the forensic social workers and helping to connect those clients back once they get to the community. So there's a new project. We're still working through a lot of the details. It probably won't hit till about the first of the year, but I am looking for a CPRS somewhere down in that southern county. They could be housed out of Marshall County, or they could be housed out of Lewis County. So I'll throw that plug out there that I have a need. All right. So we've done the coalition. I'm going to go. I would like to ask Avis or Kurt or Kirby, is there, I know a lot of the executive orders expires the end of this month. Do we have any insight, especially with COVID ramping back up as we're seeing it? Any idea whether that executive order is being discussed, it being extended further?
Hey, Debbie, this is Kurt Hipple again with the department. I would say that we are definitely having conversations with the governor's office about those executive orders, as I think most social services departments are. We hear from our providers and know within our own systems that those are very effective tools that ideally would be continued. Don't have any firm information about whether they will be extended or not. I would say that the timetable, if you recall, for all of the executive orders that have been extended, it's usually right up to that within a day or two of the order expiring, being set to expire before it is extended. So I think today is the 22nd. Most of them either expire on the 28th or later in October. So when we know for sure, we will certainly let y'all know. Okay. But that's the update we have.
Okay. All right. There was something that flew through and I didn't catch it when it went through my brain. All right. I want to open the floor up to anyone else that has something they want to add, share, to contribute to the best and to the benefit of Region 5. So if you'll unmute yourself and share with us, we would appreciate that.
Hello. I'm still here, although we don't see each other. Like Kimberly, if you have any community needs, sponsorship needs, sorry, I also have construction going on in the bathroom here. Please approach me. I'm still here supporting the community. Please do not forget, approach United Healthcare Community Plan. And I put my email address in the chat box. Please do not hesitate. And if you have any questions regarding billing or anything else with United Healthcare, please contact me. I will get you in touch with the correct person to answer your questions. Oh, and there's TEMHO conference coming up, if anybody is aware of it. It's December the 10th and 11th, TEMHO conference. That's all.
Is that virtual or in person?
That's virtual.
Okay. I haven't seen any information come out. Okay. Anybody else? I don't have anything else. Herbie, Avis, Kurt, anything else y'all would like to add?
Hey, Debbie, this is Avis. Just a couple of things. One, I just want to thank you and the council for your flexibility in moving the meeting so quickly so we can get this under that October 28th deadline for electronic meetings. So I really appreciate you and the council members for that. Also, to congratulate you on your new mobile bus. It looks fabulous for Buffalo Valley, and that's exciting. Just looking at the inside, just really excited me to know that that's going to be out there in the community helping people, and for your expansion with the Navigators program to the additional counties as well. And just wanted to express my appreciation to everyone for joining this meeting, because I know you probably had to rework your schedule to do so. And wanted to say hi to Vic Moore. Haven't talked to you in a while, Vic, so if you're still on the line, glad you could join us, and miss seeing and talking with you as well. And big shout out to Sherry, as always, do a fabulous job of what you do. And I appreciate you and miss seeing everyone.
There was a, and I'll refer this back to Kirby and Avis now. In our last minutes, Amber was talking about the Mental Health America and asked about the evidence-based protocol developed from California. And Melissa had talked about it and said it was a process for physicians to walk through for the evaluation of a mental health client, and that it was available on the THA website, and she was going to send us a link. I asked Sherry this morning. Sherry was going to reach back out to her. But if y'all could make sure that we get that link, because that was a follow-up to our minutes last month.
Sure. I'll reach out to you. This is Kirby. I'll reach out to Melissa this morning.
Okay. The other thing I would say in closing to all of you is, you're hearing our COVID numbers are back up. Please just be aware. Don't get lax. Last 2 weeks ago, I dealt with 10 employees in a site that tested COVID positive. I had a client and I had to quarantine a house of 18. So please, please don't get lax and pay attention, wash your hands, wear your mask, whatever. Keep your social distancing so that we can try to keep this under wraps. Right now we're back on an incline. I think I just saw a while ago, one of our counties, I think it was Williamson County, I'm not sure, I'll have to go back and look. Counties are going back and putting mask mandates in place. So just please be cognizant of this. We don't want y'all being sick. I will tell you that my medical director, so I'll ask for your prayers if you're a praying person, has been admitted to the critical care unit and is on a ventilator. So just be cautious, pay attention, and if not only for you, for your family members and those that you're serving. And that's my preaching for the day. But anyway, if there's no other business to be brought before this group, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Kimberly, can I ask you for a motion to adjourn? I see you're still here with me.
Motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
I'll second it. This is Amber.
Thank you. All in favor, wave. If I can see your face, the only face I can see is Cooper's. And thank you very much. I appreciate each and every one of you. Oh, that card showed back up. Oh, Avis. Oh, wait a minute, Avis. There's Avis. Now she shows up. Look at those faces. See, this would have been much better than looking at your initials on a board.
Yes, it's so nice to see everybody.
It is.
It's nice to see all of you out too.
All right. Y'all be good. Love y'all. Take care.
Okay. Love you too. Bye. Bye, everybody. Miss you, Kilbra.
Thank you, everyone.